Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight is October 10th, 2017, and it's a wonderful Tuesday in New York City. And we are, as usual, welcoming our wonderful band of warriors. We had hoped that Brother Ralph Shulman would join us this evening, but those of you who keep up with what's going on, you know there are fires again on the West Coast, and it looks like his home is in jeopardy and the air is unbreathable. So Brother Shulman wasn't sure if he was going to be forced to vacate his premises and therefore will not be joining us, and sends his sincere apologies. Hopefully, we will continue our discussion this evening next week, and we can have him participate and a couple of other people who are on top of what's happening in Haiti and Puerto Rico. But we will continue. And tonight, we are saying the forgotten politically imprisoned countries and their politically imprisoned. And we're dealing with some case studies, Haiti and Puerto Rico. And I'm making a special request to my warrior colleagues tonight. Don't forget Harlem. Don't forget Bed-Stuy. We're just as much politically imprisoned as Haiti and Puerto Rico. So without further ado, I give a shout-out to my comrades, and Brother Ralph is in the house.
Thank you so much for that, Sister Betty. What I believe.
The overriding element in every situation or circumstance in a black life is racism. Birth, elementary school, housing, health, food, etc. Black lives have never mattered except during slavery and other circumstances where money is being made by our labors for others. The modern death penalty, 80% black, move lynching indoors. The police, as the army of occupation, have taken lynching outside again. The lynch mob is the racist system, including the courts and the media. And because the lives of our heroes and sheroes who once protected us in our community do not matter to us, the people, our political prisoners are now dying in captivity. They are tortured and isolated. Only armed struggle can recreate our image in our own minds as well as the minds of others. Wake up. Now is the time. And a thought for today. Self-defense is a demand of nature. Everything and everyone that does not defend themselves will perish. Those who do not defend their defenders will also perish.
It's true.
And this is a program to deal with countries that are politically imprisoned, those who fought the oppressors, and how we free them from their imprisonment on our own behalf. Now, the past week we had an event in New York to commemorate one of our political prisoners who passed on. It was remembering Lynn Stewart. And as well as on this program, wherever I am, you can expect technical difficulties. And we had every technical difficulty that you could imagine. I will not go into it, but nothing worked. We wanted to Skype it. We wanted to Facebook it. We wanted to do all of those things. And we checked the equipment out the night before, and everything was perfect. But right up when the program opened up, the screen did not work. The projector did not work. The microphones did not work. But we soldiered through. And so we're continuing, and I say thank you to everyone who participated. We will continue because continue we must. We must free our political prisoners. And as Betty had said, that we will delay the program because our experts, Ralph Shulman, was going to give us a history of Haiti, and we were looking forward to Daoud Andre, the Haitian activist in New York, to give us insights on Haiti and those who are experts on the laws and the history of Puerto Rico to keep that enslaved. And I remember around 1963 riding through Harlem, as Queen Mother told me on a Friday night, look and tell me what you see. And I looked and I says, I see people. What should I see? And she said, you should know, you're looking at Harlem, that in a manner that is in a way that you will never see it that way again. I did not understand it. But as time went by, I understand more and more. We are governed by the dynamics of colonialism. And she stated, we are merely a colony of the United States inside continental United States. That is what drives the politics inside of our communities of color. Colonialism. And she said, just study colonialism and the way it works, and you will understand what is happening in our colonies, and you will be able to predict the future. And the future is that we won't be there much longer. The future is today. Harlem and all of the inner cities, even Chocolate City, so-called Chocolate City, Washington, D.C., is going through a period of ethnic cleansing never seen before. The inner cities are our colonies, and they're moving us out of our colonies. It is ethnic cleansing, and gentrification is just the nice word for ethnic cleansing. And so I'm going to turn the program back to Sister Betty.
We have a full house tonight, and before we leave, Brother Ralph has a letter hot off the press that he received from Jan Lahman, and definitely have to read it to communicate and be the eyes and ears and voice of our warriors, our prisoners of war. And I want to thank again, I want to echo what Brother Ralph said. In spite of the fact that the technology was down, we had an incredible program.
Yes,
and I want to give a shout out to the Stuart Panther Cubs. They were the Stuart Pointer Cubs. They were fabulous. They did an excerpt from Hamilton, a song about freedom, and it gave you goosebumps. And we're looking forward to hearing much more from them. And I want you to know that we did get some donations. We are able to send out a donation to some of our political prisoner commissaries, and we will do so. We're also planning to do something again in March. We are not going to be deterred by technology. And we're already looking forward to March and doing something even bigger and better. So without further ado, we're going to call on our warrior from the Black Panther Party. We're honored to have more than one. We're going to call on a warrior who has been inside the gates of the death camp and who is his own jailhouse lawyer. Once again, we welcome our poets and we welcome our political prisoner advocates to the mic, and we know that Brother Joel is in the house tonight. Brother Tom Syracuse is hoping he can join us, but he's at a protest because one of our mayoral candidates fighting against the evil duo was denied access as a mayor, as someone who's running for the mayoral campaign in the Green Party. So we hope Tom will be able to get on the mic with us. But we recognize that right now we've got Brother Larry, and Brother Larry, welcome. Your mic is open.
Thank you, my sister Professor Betty Davis. And you know, I often say professor, but let me clarify that. I should say our sister who shows us the way. That's you, Sister Betty Davis.
Yep.
And you have been doing it for decades, plural. And so, Sister Professor Betty Davis, thank you so much. All power to the people. I want to thank Brother Ralph Pointer. Of course, I'm looking forward to hearing from everyone, including our sister Ann Lamb, who always brings up everything that we need to know about our political prisoners, and then some. Looking forward to hearing from Joel and Tom and Brother Tariq and all of these brothers and sisters and so many more. Okay, let me just begin by saying, free our political prisoners. All power to the people. Free them. Free them now. This is 2017. Brothers and sisters, sisters and brothers, this is the 21st century. My God. as Nina Simone would say. My God, what more do we need? Those brothers and sisters, whether it's Seth Hayes, you dig? Whether it's Mumia Abdul-Jamal, you know, whether it's Leonard Peltier, we could go on and on and on. The point is, if we are to be human, let's act like humans and stand up for the humans who have shown their humanity to us and for us and with us. That's all I'm asking. That's all I'm asking. I'm begging, I'm pleading, I'm imploring. Can't we stand up and be human and free all of our political prisoners right here in Babylon, the U.S. of A. So, having said that, and I want to be succinct, I just want to thank everyone. Love everyone. I deeply appreciate all of you who listen to this program. And by listening, you are participating, whether you say one word or not, just by listening. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All power to the people. So, you know, I'm going to get off the line because I know we've got some incredible people coming on right now. And they got some powerful insight and powerful news to give us. So I'm going to say this. We have an obligation to ourselves and to each other. We will fulfill it or we will deny it. Which will it be for you? I urge that we fulfill it. Thank you so much. Sister Betty Davis, Brother Ralph Pointer, and as I said, I'm looking forward to Ann Lamb, to Joe, to Tom, to Brother Tariq, to everybody who's going to be on tonight, because we want to hear your words of wisdom. All power to the people. Free our political prisoners. Free them now, right now. Thank you so much. All power to the people.
Well, thank you for that, and without ado, we are going to ask Brother Nat Turner to come to the mic. Are you there, Nat?
Yeah, I'm here.
Waiting. And let me tell you, it was wonderful. Your poems at the Lynn Stewart event were magnificent. I'm just apologizing to you that we didn't get our technical things together because we wanted the country to hear that. But we're going to do it again. And I say in my own defense, we checked it the night before and everything was working. And we wanted it on YouTube. It is on YouTube, but it wasn't as clear and as bright as we would like to have it because there was a problem with the lighting, but we will do it again and again till our political prisoners are home. Nat Turner, you've got the mic.
Okay, right on. This piece is called Puerto Rico Shock and Awe, Exposing Capitalism's Criminality. Water is life, and even saliva's in short supply for drum-tight mouths, sandpaper throats. Yodeling bellies cave in on spines as evil scents of sewage and death steal in, refashioning an island into a spread sheet. Cell towers, power lines snapped like Legos, electricity's a distant memory, refrigerated insulin's useless, oxygen tanks ran out eons ago, generators and motorboats are music where ATMs froze and desperation's setting in, celebrity charities touching, but not the billions needed. Cuba has been ready with doctors. Venezuela offered oil. Jamaica wants to jump in. Even earthquake-ravaged Mexico lined up supplies. But an embargo of greed, mass, and maritime law blocks arteries of foreign flag ships primed to pump blood to Puerto Rico's body, food, fuel, water, medicines, once again exposing capitalism's bankruptcy. Is there a method to Boss Tweet's madness, his shock and awe, his zero empathy, victim blaming as animals and people perish, his cruel, callous debt sermons while his sordid career floats on bankruptcy like an oily turd in a stopped-up toilet? Maybe there's a method to his five-day fusillade of tweets at NFL kneelers, NBA warhouse no-shows. Maybe fire and fury killing 25 million Koreans makes better business sense than food and water saving 3 million Puerto Ricans. Perhaps it's business, not personal. Regime change in Venezuela, Trump's diaper change for Puerto Rican babies. Isn't it elegant gnawing Wall Street's pound of flesh, Katrina style, from island bones? Succulent FEMA cost sharing, juicy PREPA electrical grid, tender teacher pensions, storm-skewered Commonwealth shish kebab for bondholder, bankster, disaster capitalist, contractor jackals. How refined! And for dessert, Puerto Rican free pudding served high on high-rise luxury hotel golf course playground for the rich parasite sponge cake. Yum. Don't blame Maria. Blame Hurricane IMF, Hurricanes World Bank, Goldman Sachs, and Citibank. Blame Hurricane Financial Management Oversight Board, Hurricane Taxation Without Representation, begging the question, is they is or is they ain't citizens? Debt cancellation, reparation, self-determination, now.
Okie dokie, and that was wonderful, and I'd like you to know that one of those went out, one of your poems went out on Facebook, and it is still out there being shown on Facebook and exposing more people to your wonderful, wonderful, wonderful poetry, educational poetry. And thanks again, and Brother Tariq, are you in the house? Brother Tariq.
Oh, yes. Brother Tariq is here.
Hey, Tariq.
Yes.
Okay. Your mic is
okay,
open.
Okay. Thank you. Peace, Brother Rob, Sister Betty, and peace to all the listeners. I am Tariq. I am a Black Panther. I spent 17 years in various American concentration camps as a Black Liberation Army prisoner of war. We must free all of our prisoners of war. They fought to put an end to this system of pain, torture, and death, and they fought to bring about permanent peace. And I just want to send a shout-out to Brother Nat Turner for that poem. Thank you very much. I'm glad to be alive to be able to hear that. Tonight I want to talk about the forgotten politically imprisoned countries of Haiti and Puerto Rico. Haiti and Puerto Rico deserve to have the spotlight shined on them. Both countries are in the lethal grip of foreign colonial masters. When I think of both countries, I am reminded of why the ruling class chose to use the word colony to describe their relationship to these two countries. The ruling class said they were due to a targeted country what the human colon does to food that passes through it. The colon extracts from food every molecule of what is useful and leaves only waste. That is why the ruling class calls both countries colonies. The ruling classes of both countries are very clear about their mission. They intend to extract everything useful, and leave only waste. Haiti and Puerto Rico are places where the ruling classes have chosen to locate their overseas industries. In those countries, the ruling classes have had legislative policies enacted that permit them to operate without paying a dime in taxes. Once set up, they pay workers almost starvation wages. This total absence of tax revenue from the industrial sector and very little tax revenue emanating from the workers places both countries in a position to not afford to provide their citizens with needed services. In both countries, there are not enough hospitals, schools, sanitation services, nor is there enough transportation services. People in both countries rightly found this arrangement deplorable. Many have been arrested and some have been killed as a result of protesting against the consequent miserable situation. Haiti and Puerto Rico deserve to have us shine the spotlight on them so, like the citizens of those countries, we can clearly see where we must direct our fighting efforts. Free all of our prisoners of war. Thank you for listening. I'm Tariq. Peace.
Thank you, Tariq.
Well, thank you so much for that, Tariq. And I need not remind anyone what disaster capitalism means. Naomi Klein wrote a book about it, but you don't have to read the book. Just look at Puerto Rico and how they use disaster to make capital. Look at Haiti as how the Clintons got very rich on the disaster of Haiti. Disaster capitalism at work now and in our time. But this is a program for political prisoners. And I remember not so many years ago, I think it was 1996, we were paying $3,000 a half hour on a commercial radio station in New York, WWRL. Bob Law was the manager there, station manager. And when we decided to humanize our political prisoners by having them, ex-political prisoners, come to the station and speak and to talk about political prisoners, they refused our money. And when anybody says it's about money, let them know it's bigger than money. It's about total oppression of a people. They refused our money and then played the half hour of music, a disc jockey saying nothing, the sound and the fury of nothing. And it was a half hour that they lost money because we wanted to talk about political prisoners. And we had gone in 6 months to the number one media, black media in New York, and they refused our money. And so when we talk about teaching people who political prisoners are, we have to understand the reason why people don't know about political prisoners and who they are is because the system promised Bob Law and the rest of the black media, if they didn't project issues like political prisoners, they would give them or make accessible to them advertisement funds from Ford, General Motors, Johnson & Johnson, etc. And so they kept real meaningful messages off of the radio stations. And, of course, the government lied. And if you ever watched a cowboy movie, and we all watch cowboy movies, we must remember to learn what little they teach. And the first thing that I learned watching the cowboy movie was white man him speak with forked tongue. No treaties were ever honored. And yet we have people in this day and age keeping information from people who need information, who most need information, who are most oppressed, and losing money while doing it because they didn't understand white man him speak with forked tongue. With that said, I'm going to pass the mic back to Sister Betty.
Thank you, Brother Ralph. Before you read Jan Lahman's writing to you or excerpts of the same, we're going to pass the mic to Sister Ann. And again, we want to let people know that even though not all of our standards were met with regard to the We Remember Lynn celebration of her life, it is on Facebook. It was streamed. If you go to Justice for Lynn Stewart's website, you can click on it and see excerpts of it. You can definitely hear some of the panels. The panels were exceptional. And the person we're going to introduce gave an incredible history of political prisoners in this country as part of her panel presentation. I'm speaking of none other than Ann Lamb. And I want to give a salute out to Brother Larry and Brother Ralph Shulman for the broadcast. The only thing that worked was the audio from the link that Brother Larry sent us. And it was a tremendous success. So, having acknowledged Brother Larry and the audio that he sent of Lynn speaking, which we heard last week, I want to open up Ann's mic and ask for our latest update.
Well, thank you, Sister Betty. I love all this wonderful things you're always saying about me. Don't get me all excited and get my head all blown up. No, really, it was a wonderful event for Lynn. I didn't mind about technical difficulties. We've been experiencing them for a long, long time. I have an update from Sundiata Akoli. Sundiata Akoli had surgery on his right carotid artery.
Oh.
Sounds scary, right?
Yeah.
He says, hello, FYI, they took me to an outside hospital to do surgery on my right carotid artery, which carries blood from the neck to the brain. Blockage of this or these arteries can lead to brain damage called a stroke. The surgery was done to remove deposits or plaque from my neck artery. The deposits plaque can slow or even stop blood flow through the artery. An opening was cut in my neck, clamps placed above and below the plaque on my carotid artery, where sometimes a temporary bypass is used to maintain blood flow around the area being operated on. The artery was opened, cleaned of plaque, and sewn back together. The clamps and any bypass tube were hopefully removed, he says, and the neck incision closed with stitches. The operation lasted an hour and a half. I was returned to FCI Cumberland that afternoon or the next. Recovery is expected in 2 weeks. All the best always. Struggle always. Sundiata. Please send Sundiata a card and message of love for our elder warrior. Sundiata Coley, then you have to put in parentheses, Clark Squire, number 3979406 FCI Cumberland, P.O. Box 1000, Cumberland, Maryland, 21501. And that address, as all political prisoners' addresses, is at jerichony.org, so you can find it. This was unexpected news, but actually it seems that they were doing something preventive, because I was talking to my friend Frank Felgado, who had a stroke, and he had this done after he had the stroke. So they actually maybe were doing something preventive, which would be amazing, in my opinion. But that's news, and people should take the time, write to Sundiata, send him a get-well card. You know, Sundiata's 80 years old, going through any kind of surgery like this when you're that age. It's not easy. You know, your recovery usually takes longer. And then I have some other news, which we know, but I will share with you anyway. Harmon Bell is back in General Pop. We are happy to report. We are happy to report several things around this, but at the moment we're happy to report this. He wrote a really nice letter to people before he got the news. So he is right now at Shawangunk in General Pop, and the charges have been dropped, so this is wonderful. And I'll read his lovely message because it's short and really nice. He says, September 27, 2017, my dear brothers and sisters, thank you for the outpouring of cards, letters, healing love, and energy that you sent me in response to the unprovoked brutal assault on me by New York State prison guards at Comstock, New York. A vicious slap beside the head from behind and shoved to the ground. I protected myself as best I could. I sustained multiple kicks, punches to the face and eyes, repeated head slams into concrete, and two cracked ribs. They tried to bury me with raining blows, not knowing that I am a seed. But the burning pepper spray sprayed into my eyes and mouth is what did me in. And yet, here I am. Now I know why visitors bring flowers and candy to the hospital. I was immediately sent, however, not to a hospital, but to the box for, quote-unquote, assault on staff. So the cards and letters and love you sent me were my flowers and candy. You did great. I was astonished, not by the outpouring of your support, but by the enormity of it. People are coming together and are standing up. They are finding out that they are not entitled to the rights and freedoms they think they have as Americans. Instead of the consideration Americans, many of them voters, deserve, they are ignored by authoritarian and elected officials. They lack health care, suffer from unrestrained police violence, mass incarceration, lack a living wage, experience poverty and homelessness, and suffer from a toxic environment. People are standing up against these injustices, insisting that their demands be respected and addressed. The social injustice, jackboot repression, racist attacks, discrimination, wealth disparities, unemployment, lack of affordable housing, the list doesn't just end there, creates waves of fierce discontent, which is gaining steady momentum, becoming a full-blown cleansing tsunami, the force of which is irresistible. And that force is you, the people, coming together and taking a stand. My flowers and candy is your outpouring of support for me, our political prisoners, the mass incarcerated, and the voiceless. To write to each of you, I've literally received hundreds of letters. A personal thank you at this time would be impossible. So I send this thank you instead. Thank you. I thank you deeply, one and all, for the empathy, outrage, love, and support you've expressed in the face of the assault on me. May our resolve to produce social change remain unshakable. Herman. So you can write to Herman at Shawangunk. Always good to keep sending those letters in. And that address also is at jerichony.org. And then I have to say that last week was a very busy week for us because on Thursday I started getting a series of texts because Jaleel had suddenly been moved from Shawangunk to Sullivan. And he thought that the reason for that was because they were probably bringing Herman to Shawangunk. Turns out he was right, right? Anyway, so we found out that Jaleel was at Sullivan, and then the next day we found out that Herman was at Shawangunk, and we would have announced it at Lynn's event, but Bob Boyle wanted to wait to make sure the charges actually were being dropped and that Herman was okay. They had a legal call, and then late Friday night they sent out this nice little update. So that's some good news. Then on Sunday, I went to Sullivan to see Jaleel, and Nate and Shantae from Buffalo came to Sullivan to see Seth. This was, of course, previously arranged. So that was really nice. We did a lot of cross-visiting. We had an excellent time, and Jaleel and Seth were saying that, you know, Jaleel said, one other prisoner said to him, oh, and you guys met in the yard on Friday. They met in the yard on Friday. You guys were hugging for like 20 minutes. And Jaleel said, well, we haven't seen each other in 20 years. And Seth said, no, it's been 30 years. We haven't seen each other since we were together at Greenhaven, right? So it's a happy moment, you know, nice boost for both of them to actually get to see each other and also, you know, to sort of cross-visit a little bit, even though they put us on opposite sides of the visiting room, you know, but we went out into the little, what they call the yard. And, you know, nobody molested us as we all proceeded to stand around and talk. And then Nate and Shantae have a little girl, Nyella. She's 3. So, of course, she was cross-visiting all day, and nobody said a word about that. She's just a little girl. So nobody bothered her. Now the concern is that they will either once again move Jaleel or they will move Seth. And when I was talking to Jaleel, I said to him, now you see why I've been so concerned. And he said, I was shocked when I saw him, you know, the way he looks, Seth. You know, he's very skinny, he's very weak. So I said, if they move one of you, I hope it will be you, Jaleel. He said, yeah, I hope so, too. He said, I'd rather not. But he said, they're both hoping maybe they won't get moved because they're on opposite ends of the prison. They're not, like, anywhere near each other. They're not on the same block. The only time they can possibly see each other is in the yard. And I said to Jaleel, you know, Seth is not supposed to go in the yard. Seth is not supposed to go in the sun because some of the medication he takes, he's not supposed to go in the sun. So I said, if you are going to try to meet in the yard, please be careful to make sure he's in the shade. If there's anywhere to sit in the yard, have him sit down, you know, because, you know, his situation is not the best. So, of course, Jaleel, being his usual litigious self, he said, this is what needs to happen, and I agree with him. Federal lawsuit for Seth, violation of 8th and 14th Amendment rights, deliberate withholding of adequate medical care, right? Simultaneous to doing that, we've already put them on the defensive. There's a federal lawsuit coming at them. They don't like that. Put in for medical parole. And the argument you make for medical parole is that Docs has been incapable of supplying adequate medical care to Seth. And we have medical records that would prove that. So I said, oh, this is excellent. I said, and talk with Seth if you get a chance, because I think he would like to do this. He's been talking about the federal thing for a while. And I said, and then also ask him about the state HABE. So they'll have a few things to discuss. I did, unfortunately, just miss a call from Seth tonight. He called, and I don't know why it only rang once. And then when I got to the phone, it was already gone. But it was from Sullivan, and just for the timing of it, I think it was probably Seth because he's taking classes right now. So he tends to call like a little before 9. So unfortunately, he hasn't called back. But that's my update for the moment. And I would encourage people to write to everybody. We will be paying strict attention all week to see if either one of them gets moved again. We are planning to go up to see Seth this Sunday. It's his birthday, October 15th. He'll be 69 years young. And he was funny on the phone. He said, I want cake. I said, no, you know you can't have that. Cannot have cake. We are not bringing you any cake, but we are bringing you your food package. So I would encourage people also to write to Seth and to Jaleel. They both have birthdays a couple days apart. Seth's is the 15th, and Jaleel's is the 18th of October. And also, I just wanted to say briefly, we are having an upcoming event for Leonard Peltier this Saturday from 2 to 5 at the Church of the Holy Rood. So also check it out on our website, and please come by. We'd love to have you come. Leonard recently had a triple bypass as well, and we'll be raising money for his legal team.
Okay. Thank you, Ann. We'll try and make that announcement again before we leave, and I want to remind everybody, it doesn't cost you anything to put a stamp on an envelope and write our political prisoners. And again, I want to acknowledge Brother Tariq and Brother Larry Pinkney as
yes.
former inmates of the death camp who are with us, and I want to let everybody know they should Google Larry Pinkney, because he has been writing on one of very significant victories internationally speaking, in terms of the rights of political prisoners. And hopefully at some point he'll give us an overview. He spoke about this on our program before, but right now I want to turn the mic over to Brother Ralph. He's going to read excerpts of the latest letter we got from Jan.
That's great.
Press this thing. It's dated September 27th, and we just got it.
Oh, yeah, they've been delaying his mail a lot.
Yes. And understand something. We talk about the politics of our political prisoners. That's what they do for us. But I'd just like to read a little of Jan's letter to show the personal side.
Mm-hmm.
These political prisoners are the most human amongst us, because
yes.
the rest of us are attempting to be human, and we are just beings. And to act on behalf of your fellow person at risk of your own person is a person who is on a higher level of humanism.
Absolutely.
But without, so, dear Ralph, well, hello, my friend. I hope you are feeling at least all right. I know you stay hard on work and do, as always, solidly, effectively, and positively moving, advancing struggle. As you see, I am enclosing a one-page message on Ricky, October, his life and our love for him. thinking of little Ricky and Lynn, and his always wanting to stay with her, you, when he came to New York. So I wanted to send this to you with thought of those we love, always will love. I'm okay. Saw my lawyer last Friday. Still in the same situation, waiting for the CTO, that's the counter-terrorist unit in D.C., to approve the transfer. It is probably getting to the end of the process. We will see what legal action, that is, their filing soon, will do. Meanwhile, Trump and company are letting Puerto Rico sink. But then, that's new. Ralph, take good care of yourself, my brother. You are in my thoughts. For freedom, Jan, give my warm greetings to your family. And so we see that I'm going to read another letter that will wait because it's for sending thoughts October 21st to his son, our son, Ricky. And it's about his family, Ricky and Barbara. And so I will read that next week. And as Lynn said, if these words do not tear your heart to shreds, I don't know if you have a heart. Our brother, Jan Lahman, our loyal brother, is in the death camp, and he's sending these wonderful messages. And so we must respond.
Yes.
We must bond to bring these brothers and sisters home. With that said, back
we're
to
gonna
Sister
do it.
Betty.
We're going
to
do
gonna
it.
Do it. Mm-hmm. We must do it.
At this point, we want to go back to our theme for tonight, and we have opened the mic for our brother Joel. Joel, your mic is open.
Yes, hello.
Hello, Joel.
Can you hear me?
I hear you. Yes,
yes,
I do.
Okay. Well, I've been listening, and that report by Ann Land was, again, an amazing view of the dedication and the fight, the struggle that people that have fought for all of us and who are now paying the price but are still standing up and fighting. We have to think of them every day, and we have to think of what we are doing, we who are still on the streets, we who are still nominally given the right to protest and the right to free speech and so on, but incredibly little is being done in the face of the attacks that are coming down. And these attacks are bipartisan, but they've been tremendously accelerated and given what's interpreted as a mandate with the accession of Trump to the White House. I won't say really the election of Trump to the White House, because what we're getting are not elections. We're getting selections, and we're getting a number of false choices narrowed down to the most unpopular people in the country running against each other for president, and of course the most corrupt on both sides. And I want to say that during the Iraq War, for example, until the Obama administration came to power, there were tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, even approaching millions of people in the streets. And the Democratic Party, through Barack Obama as president, were able to somehow quiet all of this down. It was during his reign that more wars were opened up than at any other time in the history of the country around the world, and yet the protests grew smaller and smaller. Now, there was a protest on Saturday at Herald Square, 34th Street, that I attended. And it was a very militant demonstration. The our prisoners of war were not forgotten, and many different liberation fronts were represented and spoke, and the criminal nature of the system that we live under, those are the real criminals, people that benefit from and operate this criminal system, but they hold the keys to the jails. That was richly exposed. But the problem is, there were only a few hundred people there. And I say that, okay, the credit goes out to the people that were there. But what about the population that really needs to be awakened when we're all under such tremendous assault? What about the example that was set by the political prisoners and the very cause of political prisoners, something that is a an immediate and outrageous evidence that what's called democracy in this country is a fraud, because the people that fought the hardest for the majority, the interests of the majority and the spirit of the majority, are imprisoned and within a population which has the largest number of prisoners in the world of any country, and almost all composed of people who, whatever they did or didn't do, was largely conditioned and shaped by the oppression and exploitation that people had to adapt to, and even the survival needs of what kind of a job can you get, and who can you work for. If you work for the really big central big business corporate mafia in this country, then that, and you further their ends, then they'll pay you a salary, and you'll be able to stay out of the prisons and so on. But if you fight for the interests of the regular people, if you oppose the gangsterism, and all the way up from labor exploitation to genocide that's being waged by the system systematically, then all of a sudden, not only your solidarity with political prisoners begins to develop, but also the threat that you may also become a political prisoner, because they want to set all these examples. They want to silence everyone. And the remedy is that people have to become more organized in larger numbers, and so it goes the other way. It's not that they that they're able to intimidate people, but the people have to be able to assert the real power of the people instead of what we do otherwise. We only have one choice. Either we do that, or we place our power, our abilities, our efforts, and so on, at the disposal of these criminals that are robbing us all of our material wealth, our rights, and our spirits. So we have to really begin to come together more and more. It's an old quote from one of the early presidents, probably a slaveholder at that, but I think it's still a good quote. And that is that when the people fear the government, you have a tyranny. And when the government fears the people, then you have a democracy. And even though that was probably said hypocritically, the principle behind it is true. We have to awaken our power so that those who want to go against the material, spiritual interests of the people would be afraid to do so, because the people will fight back. And to the point where people should routinely govern the country in the majority, and not just leave it to a handful of people that then say that democracy is the choice that you're given to vote for one of the criminals that we put in front of you. So again, and the key to all of this is to keep the eyes on the prize. If we want to free ourselves, we have to free the political prisoners who have been fighting to free us, and that effort should always be forefront in all of the actions and demonstrations and other parts of the struggle that we engage in. It should not ever be swept under the rug or allowed to be forgotten.
And, okay, thank
you. The honor of speaking in this great forum.
Thank you so much for that, Joel. And we must understand that these marches and demonstrations are a step to make people aware so that we can engage in real actions that will change things. Sister Betty?
I want to thank everyone who spoke tonight. I want to thank you for helping us share our loss in terms of celebrating Sister Lynn's birthday and transition. And we want to say to that newspaper man who was outraged when she participated in a UNAC conference a couple of years ago, saying, wasn't she supposed to die in 8 months? Lynn Stewart presente. And we thank you for helping us say that. You actually had the nerve not only to say it, but to put it in print. And that is how they feel about all of our political prisoners. I want to let you hear the words of a warrior we know only too well as we wind down our show. And again, I want to thank all of you for being with us the last 2 weeks. It meant a lot. We've got to, again, deal with this technology, and we're hoping that it will open up shortly. We have something very special. Hey, it's coming, it's coming.
The events surrounding Charlottesville, Virginia, have a resonance far beyond the borders of Old Dominion. Even though they began as a strictly local affair, they quickly assumed a national character because this strictly local event stems from the nation's history, a history that remains not only contested, but bitterly unresolved. That history, of course, is the toxic poison of white supremacy, and the trigger thereof, African slavery, the intentional, centuries-long economic, social, communal, and psychic exploitation of Africans for the financial and psychological benefits of the white nation. This toxin has tainted the bloodstream of the nation and infected all segments of society and was integral to the very development of whiteness as a core identity for millions of people who call themselves Americans. As we look at protests rolling throughout the country, the first thing we must recognize is that this isn't about monuments, about war. It is about the present. It is about how this country will define itself, how it sees itself, and how it understands its future. But history, true history, is more about today than yesterday, for it is the pathway to tomorrow, and it lives or dies in the minds of the young who learn or unlearn how this country came to be and what role they play in the days. That great black freedom fighter, Malcolm X, repeatedly said, of all our studies, history best rewards our research. Mm-hmm. He knew this not only because he was taught this by his teacher, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, but because he learned this in the very experience of his life. For as a state prisoner, a man so hated that he was called Satan, his learning of a deeper history of black people literally made him a new man. It gave him confidence. It turned his loathing into loving. It gave him purpose, and perhaps more importantly, perspective. Perspective. how to look at the world, how to interpret it, how to understand things are the way they are. That's the real value of history. It teaches perspective of the now, not then. And that's the reason why monuments turned green by oxidation and pigeon poop are seemingly at the center of these controversies. The Trump presidency signaled a great leap backwards. It has the expression of a deep, profound fear of the future, of change, of transformation. So they hold on to yesterday, invoking tradition as if the central tradition of America wasn't and isn't black slavery, black exploitation, which launched it into an international economic power. Charlottesville is thus a turning point, a pivot point, upon which the nation turns back or moves forward, creating a new history. This only the people of America can and will decide. Roman Prison Nation, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
The rise of the imperial feminine. If democratic hopes are fulfilled, Hillary Rodham...
all the chains